Amen. So we're going to move into a time of worship. We're going to usher in his presence, and we're going to see greater things this morning. Amen. God, I thank you so much for everything you've done for us. I thank you for this facility, God. I thank you for what you're going to do in this place, Lord. And I pray that you move over us, God. We welcome your presence in this place, Lord. We welcome your peace this morning. We welcome your joy this morning, your strength this morning, God. Move over us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Though mountains stand before us, though weapons form against us, we're standing on your promise. We're believing you, Lord, for greater things.
Have you come with a spirit of expecting revival, a spirit of expecting greater things? Hallelujah!
Promise. Renew.
Announcements. These are going to be youth related. First one is the strawberry fundraiser is going to be happening. We decided to go ahead and go through with it, and a lot of people enjoyed it. It's a great fundraiser for our youth, and this one it will be going toward NAYC this July. I'm about to say January. I wish it was January. Actually, not, because we need to raise money quick. Then, if that's the case. But we'll have the strawberry fundraiser. Be looking forward to packets and information getting out this week about that. We'll be doing that. And then also for NAYC, if you are turning 15 this year and up and you are planning to go to NAYC, your non-refundable $50 deposit will be due January 31st. That way we can get a good head count of exactly who's going, who's committing to go, and we'll be... Youth students will get first priority first for rooming and for tickets, and then after that, it'll be opened up to hyphen-age students. And so it will be a great time. And Pastor, do you have something you wanted to make an announcement about?
You may be seated. It's going to take me a little longer than just a second. The Lord is so idealistic. And he is so thorough in everything he does. I cannot thank you as a church body, both those that are in-house and those that are listening online, for your consistent giving, not only financially, but of yourself, to this particular time in life. We are at a crossroads, but we're not at a critical misuse of life. God knows exactly what he's doing. In the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, he divided it up into three segments. One, which man of you having 100 sheep, watch this, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 and go after that which is lost? Then in 7 he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Then he moves it to the next level where funding, finances is involved. What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors. Then he moves it to a person. He moves it from things to finances and to families. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He found himself in trouble. In verse 17, when he came to himself, he was in a mess. He was in a crisis. Things were not good. But he had a hope. He said, I still got a land. I still got a father. I still got something that's going for me. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as a hired servant. But his father said, let me tell you, you may have been through COVID. And you may have been through cancer. And you may have walked in all kind of sin. And you may have been trapped in all kind of mischievous measures. But you're still my offspring. I still created you for my glory. And I'm going to have a revival. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. But you're going to come to your senses. And you're going to know when you've lost the coin. And you're going to know when you've lost the values of life. And you're going to know when life is critical. You could lose your son or your wife or your daughter. But I'm going to have a church that's going to always be ready. I'm going to receive you unto myself. I'm going to make you. And I'm going to cover you in the last day with the best of clothing, no matter how far away you have been. I'm speaking to somebody today because the Holy Ghost woke me up this morning and told me to remind you, you may be only one, but COVID has got your attention. The financial disaster going on in America has gotten your attention. And we're all looking for answers. And Jesus said, I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. I am your heavenly Father. And I am going to give you all things freely to enjoy. Could we thank him today for a word from heaven? In the middle of a crisis, he's still the Christ. In the middle of what you're going through, he's still the door. Father, I thank you today in the middle of this dilemma of life that you have given us an entire chapter that we can look at and understand. So I encourage you today as we move through this day and as we move through this service, don't let the disadvantage of what you've lost take over the advantage of what you still have. You've got access to the greatest days of your life. And if you feel like you've lost anything, God shows you three pictures of I will help you in the middle of whatever you're going through. Look at your neighbor and sort of smile at them. Don't hug them. Just give them a smiley hug. So great to see you. Thank you again for all you're doing to help keep the house of God warm, unclouded, filled with hope, filled with glory. And it's great to see you.
Behind me,
I will.
Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory.
Jesus, you're my comfort.
Peace.
Can you just worship where you're at? Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, God, because you deserve it, Jesus. You promise never to leave nor forsake us, God. Help us to be reminded that you're always there. You've never left us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful to be in the house of God with each of you. We have a few prayer requests that we would like to make known. We want to continue to pray for the Reader Hood family and the passing of Sister Mary Ann. She was a precious lady to this church, actually. The Bristow Bays family and the passing of Sister Virgie Bays. And then other people right now that are searching for something that will heal the hurting they're going for. Keep that in mind. We need to pray for our world like never before right now. Brother R.C. Clark, he needs a healing. Patty Summerlot, Pastor Doug Holt, Ellen Weaver, Sister Mary Formby, and it's good to see her and Chuck this morning. Jana Leverton, she needs a touch in her body. Jeremy Trinado, Brother Proctor, and Sister Vicky Proctor. I don't know about you, but if you don't follow him on Facebook, you're missing out. He keeps everybody updated about him and some of the things that God's laid on his heart. Brother Charles Fleming, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Brother Arlton and Sister Ella Mae Bristow, Pat Adkins, the Crawford family, and then Sandy Emmanuel Martinez. We all have needs, don't we? One of the things I think is so cool about God is that He takes time, even if it's that you hurt your toe, He takes time to make sure that you're comforted. He takes time to make sure that you know He's there. Sometimes we say, "Where are you, God?" And He's been there the whole time. That's the first question asked in Genesis. Where are you? That's what He asked Adam and Eve. And that's what we ask Him. And He's always there. He never left. Where are you, though? Where is your walk at with Him? Maybe that's the question you should ask yourself instead of asking God, "Where are you?" Because He never left. That's not in His character. He doesn't leave. If you have any need, even if it's that you hurt your toe, I would encourage you to step up here in faith. Faith can heal you even before you say a prayer. Step up here in faith, knowing that God will heal you. And they'll anoint you with oil, and we'll try to do social distancing to the best of our ability. No need is too small. Don't feel silly for a little need. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're worthy. God, you are so worthy for the praise, God. The ability that you give us to ask for just a toe, God, maybe, or a headache, God, and that you heal it. God, I thank you for that privilege to get to call on your name over every situation, God. I bless your name. You heard every need spoken, God. And what's even better is you know every need unspoken. God, you know what we need before we even ask or make mention of it, God. I pray that you would touch the Clark family this morning. I pray that you would touch Brother Charles Fleming this morning. I pray for the Bolton family this morning. God, I pray for the Bristow family this morning. I pray for the Hood family this morning, God. Give them peace like only you can give. We bless your name, Jesus. You are here. You are here. I bless your name. You're my way maker. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are here. I worship you. I worship you.
working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Let this spirit move from us, but we are able to stay in this spirit As soon as we give our tithes and offering, we move back into a time of worship. Amen. God, I thank you, Lord, for the presence we feel in this place this morning. I thank you for the touch that we've received. And God, as we push forward in you, we receive your blessings today. God, I pray that you bless what's given. You bless the giver and you anoint the preaching. God, and tenderize our hearts to receive you today. In your mighty name, God. Amen.
Shout for the victory, shout if you've been set free, shout.
Oh, I will shout.
You may be seated. I sort of wonder what some of your friends that you used to grow in their world think about you now that you're growing in his world. Some of those people that had no idea that you would depart from worldliness into godliness. See, you look at them as they're strange, and they look at you as if you're strange. But where would you rather be headed than heaven? Where would you rather be headed than a holy brain? You know, I used to think that preachers were perfect till I became one. And then I realized that scripture meant what it said, perfecting yourself unto godliness. And so no longer do I expect preachers to be perfect. I expect them to go out there in front and say, I have found more. There's bread out here. And we follow people that know where the bread is. We follow people that know where spiritual things accrue and are developed. And we have with us a couple today that's not perfect. I know y'all didn't expect me to say that. But if you could have known where God found them, you would be most excited to hear about part of their adventure. Out of the darkness, light shone. They began to follow that light. They could tell you some things that would make some of the hair, well, some of you don't have much, but it would maybe make that one hair on your arm crawl. Because they have followed Jesus for years. They have found him to be the bread. They have found him to be the river of life. They have found him to be the wisdom of heaven. They have found him to be the wisdom on earth. And I thrill to call them my friends and a part of my life. Sister Bridges is coming first, and she's going to address all of your needs. And that is, Jesus meets every need. She used to fight for other reasons. And she was a good one according to history. But she fights the enemy every day. And she reaches out and grabs another rung on the ladder. And I'm thrilled to be called her pastor at large. That doesn't mean I am large. It just means I'm somewhere in her world. She has a wonderful pastor husband, and he's going to follow her. And I'm not coming back up here until I need to. But Brother Bridges is an awesome gentleman, received by leaders and by followers. He has a ton of people that have great respect, not only for his daily life, but his ministerial life. This couple is anointed. They're doing a phenomenal work in a cold country. And when you can do a great work in a cold country, Wisconsin, and nonetheless under the shadow of the Packers, they're only 45 miles, Brother Jeff, from some of the people you recognize when you see them. And he has a man in his church that toured my wife and I through that stadium. And it's not just a TV picture. It's real. So I bring to this pulpit today spiritual leaders, men and women of faith, a man and a woman of faith and power in the Word. Again, they're not perfect or they'd already be in heaven, but they're negotiating perfection daily. Let's make welcome Sister Tara Bridges.
Thank you, Pastor. It's always such an honor and a joy and a pleasure to be with my in my home church. And you know, they say that home is where the heart is, right? Home is wherever you make it, wherever you feel comfortable, wherever you feel loved and welcomed. And I feel that when I come to my home church. And I love our pastor and our first lady so very, very much. They are a huge, integral part of my life. And I'm so glad that we have things on social media, FaceTime, and those types of things where we can keep in constant contact. And I just wish that it wasn't so far away. But I did tell Sister Meyer one time, I said, it's probably good that I don't live closer to you. Otherwise, I'd probably never get anything done because I would be over at your place all the time. I love being with our pastor and his wife. You know yourself what a strength they are and what purpose they are a light in this city. And it always gives me such great joy to know that my pastor is someone that it doesn't matter where you go in this community, everyone knows them. And most everyone calls him pastor, whether they attend here or not. So I enjoy continuing to glean and to grow from their ministry. One of the things that he said was that we're still negotiating life. Part of being a spiritual leader is changing your mindset to the mindset of God. Did you know that mindset is just the established set of attitudes held by someone? What is your mindset today? Colossians tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. My mindset will be stayed and fixed on Jesus. I do have my face set as a flint. Doesn't mean that I don't get discouraged at times. It doesn't mean that I don't look around, like Kylie said, and question, God, are you still there? It doesn't mean that as a spiritual leader, we do not go through those times. But what it means is that my basic overall mindset is that of victory. It's that of peace. It is that of overcoming. So it does not matter what difficulty I go through in life. It doesn't matter how low I may get or how high on the mountaintop I may find myself. I know where my help comes from, and it will always come from the Lord. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I am so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And thank you for giving me her, my precious wife. She is wonderful. She is a great wife. I'm not even going to say really, because Brother Meyer and I had that conversation in the past. So I will say this way. She's a great wife, truly. And so I thank God for her, and I thank God for Brother and Sister Meyer. I got to meet them through my wife, and they are precious people. They are Christians, and we always enjoy being with them because they enrich our lives. I've said this before, it's worth saying again, I'm a better person because of them, and I'm thankful to God for my relationship with them. Amen. Praise God. I know you feel the very same way. If you don't, then you're not close enough to your pastor. Just get a little bit closer to him, and you'll have the same kind of thinking that I do. Praise God. I want to thank Brother Jackie Parsons for being my hog guide this week. Got me on some hogs. appreciate that very much, his time, his late night time away from his grandbabies. Thank you for taking that time and spending it with me. I always have a great, great time and enjoy our fellowship. And unfortunately, this Wisconsinite isn't as good a shot as that Texan. So kudos to y'all. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. God has something for us today. How many of you believe that? I believe that today. Amen. I believe that when we come into the house of God, we need to prepare for change. Brother Meyer, share with me your New Year theme is willing to change to overcome. Willing to change to overcome. And you can preach that all year long. Amen. And I hope today that you come into the house of God with that attitude, with that purpose, with that intent. Because this is where the greatest change happens. Amen. And that is in the house of the Lord. Now, God is not only here, but he's everywhere. But what we learn here, we can certainly take with us wherever we may go. Amen. Praise God. It is God's word that changes us mostly. If we get into his word and learn what he has for each and every one of us. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, see that I get to preach to the young people as well this morning. Amen. It's exciting. I like to see what God's doing, amen, in the lives of young people. If you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. If we could put our Bibles down this morning, maybe our smartphones or iPads, the next few moments are the most important minutes in your life. So we're going to pray together that God, through his preacher, will minister to our minds and our hearts, because we are here to change. The Bible says from glory to glory. Amen. We want to change in to be changed into his likeness. Amen. And so let's pray that prayer this morning. Father, we love you. We acknowledge you. We thank you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do here this morning. God, I'm so grateful for the music, God, that has prepared the hearts and the minds of people to receive the word of God. I pray that right now, that God, something miraculous can happen. That God, that we would open up our ears to hear the word of God. That we would ready our hearts, oh God. That our heart would be good soil to receive the message this morning. I pray for each and every person. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're shaking hands, shake a hand next to you. If you're not shaking hands, wave at somebody. Wink at somebody. Acknowledge somebody today. Amen. The body of Christ is such a beautiful thing. And we get to be part of the beautiful body of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to entitle my thoughts this morning, Preacher, Preach to Me. Preacher, preach to me. As we can see here in Scripture, preachers have an awesome responsibility to preach, and not only preach, but to preach the truth of the Word of God. This world is bombarded with message after message from preacher after preacher offering hope to a lost and dying world. However, the question this morning is, what message of hope are they preaching? Child of God, we ought to be worried about new religious concepts and deceptions that are lurking around and sneaking onto the stages of many churches and are given credibility. We should keep our distance from philosophers, philosophies, and worldly concepts that disguise themselves as truth. We all should be alarmed by the emerging church and the grace-only ideals that are present in this world and have become the accepted norm in many cases, as well as religious leaders who think they are as important as God and feel that they can alter Scripture or declare their own interpretation of it. This morning we sit here in the house of the Lord. You should be preached to from the Word of God and nothing else. Can I get an amen? I declare the message we preachers must preach is the unadulterated truth of the Word of God, unchanged and accepted as it stands. The message we preach must be the only saving message. And the only saving message is the Word of God. Preacher, preach to me. The minister, the pastor, the preacher of God must commit himself to the awesome charge. As our text declares to the preacher to preach the Word, he said, I charge you before God. I charge you. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You see, the Word must be preached because the preacher preaches first before God. And the preacher preaches because all will stand before Christ and be judged in the last day. Can I step back and say, do not misinterpret God's silence for weakness. Because there's not a person here under the sound of my voice or any man, woman, boy, and girl outside these four walls that will get away with not living according to the Word of God. There's an average of three Bibles, they say, in every house in America. God forbid, amen, that you and I would neglect, amen, the Word of God that has been given to us. I am grateful, appreciative, amen, that we have the written Word of God that can change us, transform us, and make us into what God would have us be. I charge thee therefore before God. The Word must be preached because the preacher preaches before God first. And every living human being will be judged for their life. Our text goes on to say in verse 2, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, he says, to reprove, to rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, the Word must be preached because the Word of God is always, always relevant
for someone to hear this beautiful message today. It must be preached. We cannot not preach the word of God. The times that you and I are living in demands a preacher to stand up and say, I have heard from God. I've got my nose in the book and I want to declare, amen, God's message to the world. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The word of God is always relevant for someone to hear this great truth, even today. I declare, even today and even here in this service this morning, let it not go over your head. I pray that you have come to church determined to catch everything that God has for you. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. God does not care about that. God is looking at every heart. He's looking at every mind. He's saying, I have come. Amen. I have a preacher. I've written my word for now. The moments that we have before us, even now. The word must be preached because the Bible says the great apostasy is coming. Verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Their own lusts. So they heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. I've heard it said that people don't stop reading the word because it contradicts itself. They step away from the word because it contradicts themselves. You see, if you're here today and if you're listening online, and if your God says you can do whatever you want to do, then your God is yourself. Because I see in the word of God that it must be God's way. Oh, he does it with love. Amen. No greater love than this. Amen. That a man would lay down his life for a friend. I'm here to tell you, you're a friend of God. He loves you so much that he's going to tell you the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. The Bible says, and they shall be turned into fables. And then lastly, the word must be preached because the man of God must completely fulfill his ministry. Verse 5, but watch, thou in all things endure affliction, the Bible says. Afflictions? He says you're going to endure them. Do the work of the evangelist, preacher. Make full proof of thy ministry. You see, the man of God who is your pastor, preacher, has an awesome responsibility before God to preach the unadulterated word of God. The preacher is not to preach his own ideas or the ideas of men. The message of this great gospel is not the message of human philosophy or psychology, sociology, or education. No, it is the very words of God, and it is the only salvation for man. I can stand here and tell you that salvation is a person. I am telling you that salvation is a person because Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No man, amen, can be saved unless you go through me. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Amen. He is approachable. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But church, take heart. I've been preaching about the preacher, the responsibility that we have We are charged to do this before God and before Jesus Christ, because we will all be judged by Jesus in the last day. We have a great responsibility. God forbid that a preacher would stand behind the pulpit and be unlearned and be elementary in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that he would know the truth, because the Bible says the truth will make you free. Take heart. Even though the man of God, the preacher, the evangelist, the prophet, fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? But your pastor has a great responsibility to preach truth. You and I and all hearers, this is what I want you to take to heart. But you and I and all hearers of God's word have a great responsibility to hear and obey. Look at your neighbor and say, hear and obey. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says this, but be doers of the word. It says, but be ye doers of the word. You've got to get this. But be ye doers of the word. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, just as the man of God must preach and teach the word of God, the people of God, I'm saying the people of God, must give heed to what is being said and respond to it with great conviction and with faith. Filled expectation. Oh God, help us to understand this morning. It is so important that the preacher be prepared, but just as important as the preparation of a preacher, every seat, amen, that is filled with the people of God, there needs to be people of faith that come into the house of God that say, I have prepared my heart to hear the word of God. I have fallen in love with the word of God, amen, so long ago, and I am willing to change to overcome. I will be changed daily as I die daily, mortifying the deeds of the flesh to be like him. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jonathan Whitfield was preaching to coal miners in England many years ago. He asked one man, what do you believe? The man said, well, I believe the same as the church. He then said, what does the church believe? Well, they believe it's the same as me. Seeing he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, and what is it that you both believe? The man responded, well, I suppose it's the same thing. Church, we are living in the time of education, we are living where anything and everything could be at our fingertips. But I'm going to tell somebody, God's word is not being rewritten. Oh, there are people that are being recalled, but God's word is not being rewritten. Amen. God's word is forever settled in heaven. I'm here to tell you, no matter what you're going through, God has got an answer for every question. God has got an answer for every situation. God has got an answer for where you're at right now. It doesn't have to be rewritten. It is forever settled in heaven. God is immutable. He never changes. Amen. If it was good back then, it's good for today. All we need is people that'll make up their mind. Come on. All we need is men and women that'll say, I believe in God. I believe in his word. Amen. And nothing can stop me. I'm going to break through doubt. I'm going to break through fear. Preacher, preach to me. How about saying that? How about looking at your neighbor and saying, preacher, preach to me. Oh, I want a preacher that's going to preach to me. I want a preacher that's going to break open the word of God on his days off. Amen. If he gets any, amen. I hope he's opening the word of God. He's studying. He's praying. He's trying to find the word of God for Sunday. He's trying to find the message for Wednesday. I know your pastor. And I know when he prepares his messages, he can see your faces. He can see where you sit, amen, in church. If you're any good pastor at all, you're thinking about the people that are going to be in the seats. You're thinking about the people that God entrusted you with, amen. And you're going to prayer, and you're going to God, and you're saying, God, help me to bring relevance. Help me to bring something. They can pivot and turn. And get on the path. It's going to bring spiritual maturity. I ask you, church, like Jonathan Whitfield, do you know what you believe? Do we know what God's word says, and do we let it in? Do we let it past those barricades, those boundaries, those walls? Do we let it pass? Do we let it in? Do we let it into that place where it can begin to change us? That it's not just microwave, but it's kind of crock pot, you know? I tell people to take what they've heard on Sunday and put it in your spiritual crock pot and let it marinate, you know? I've seen people that are great barbecuers. You know, now I've got my own attention here. You know, people that know how to barbecue ribs and, you know, they know how to barbecue pulled pork and all that good stuff, you know? I've heard people that they dig a hole and they start a fire and they have this hot coals and they put that meat in the ground and they cover it up. You see, that is exactly what you and I need to do. We don't need to come to church for a quick fix. Come on. We don't need to come to church for a quick message. No, my friend. That's not what the 21st century church needs. We need to go back to the first century. Amen. Where people, amen, they just could not get enough. They could not get enough. And it marinated. It changed them. It made a difference. They took what they've heard home with them. They let it change them from the inside out. Something special about the word of God. Oh, little stories coming to my mind, you know. Have you ever seen the guy that loves sports cars? He buys, you know, the old Camaro or the old Corvette or whatever car he likes, Corvair, and he's gonna fix this car up, right? And when he got it, it wasn't in the best of shape. He didn't have a whole lot of good things to say about it, but, you know, 6 months later, 7 months, when it's got a brand new paint job, it's got new upholstery, you know, and it's got new bumpers, shiny chrome bumpers, and he turns around and he pats it. And then he's starting to refer to it as her, you know? The wife's wondering why he's late for dinner. He's out in the shed, you know. He's fixing it. He's working on it. He's fine-tuning it. He's putting some time and money and energy and effort into this thing, right? He's connected to it. Come on. I think you know where I'm going. He's connected to it, and he goes to Walmart. You know, the wife said, we need some milk and bread, and he jumps in the car, and he runs over to Walmart, and as he's walking away from the car, he stops, and he goes, you know, ever notice when you park your car away from everybody? All of a sudden, everybody wants to park right by where you just parked, you know? And I don't know if you've ever done it, but I'm assuming this guy probably turned because he saw the cars that were just now starting to collect around his. And he goes, I'm just going to move it out a little bit farther, you know? I'm just going to be a little bit more careful, you see, because I put some time and energy and effort into this. I've got something invested in that. You see, there's something about giving. There's something about being connected with something because connection creates love. I'm here to tell you, we've got to connect or we need to reconnect with the word of God. Hear me, that's what's going to get you and I to heaven. That's what's going to change our life today. That's what's going to keep us all on the straight and the narrow. For I'm willing to change to overcome. And if I'm willing to change to overcome, and the Word of God has got to be a priority in my life. You know, your cell phones, you leave it at home, you turn around, and you go back and get it. Because it's your life. We were hog hunting last night, and I lost my phone for a brief moment. We were crawling under fences. We were jumping logs, you know, going down ditches, and I lost my phone for a brief moment. And I'm like, uh-oh. What am I going to do? My life is over. You know, never see my wife again. Never talk to my friends. You know, life is, it's the beginning of the end. You know, and then the other side of me was like, I could hear the music. Life without a cell phone. How awesome. And then brother Jackie reached down, grabbed it out of the seat, brought me back to reality. Do you know what you believe, church? What makes you tick? Can I say this? What turns you on? Is it a Corvette? Is it a Corvair? What is it? Is it a hobby? Does God's word affect you? Does it begin to put a smile on our face? Would we turn around and go back and get our Bible like we would our cell phone? And I haven't done that, you know, like I'm preaching right now. But what I'm saying is I want that thought to be in your head, right? I mean, God's word is the saving words of God. It is what changes you and I. Amen. It is what the preacher is supposed to be preaching, the unadulterated word of God. It is what Paul charged. He charged, amen, Timothy to say, amen, I charge you before God and Jesus Christ, amen, because there is a responsibility, preacher. But church, you're taking note today. Just as we have a responsibility, as we stand in this pulpit and preach to you, you have a responsibility to know the truth and sell it not. To hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against it. You've got to love his word that you're willing enough. You're willing enough to lay your life down. To change whatever God impresses upon you to change so that you can be an overcomer. Hear me, somebody. You see, for we all must be willing to be changed to overcome. We need to possess the attitude and the posture of amen, preacher. Please, please preach to me. Preaching is God's chosen method to save lost mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Just because you're here doesn't mean you believe. Just like you standing in your garage doesn't make you a Cadillac, right? Just because we go to church doesn't make us Christian. Amen. We've got to obey the word of God. We've got to obey the word. I know your pastor, and he is a great preacher who is committed to preaching, and not only preaching, but pastoring you. And he takes his role as your shepherd very serious to never underestimate the importance and the power of God's word in your life. I've met very few people that know as much of the word of God as Brother Meyer. Oh, I know he's serious about seeing you changed. I know he's committed to seeing you get to heaven. Preacher, please, please preach to me. Paul's epistle, an admonition to Timothy about preaching, was for the salvation of those that would hear the gospel message. And before the charge in Timothy, we can look back in the third chapter and see 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable to man. Profitable to man, it says, but only if you and I hear it and we obey it. We are warned. And I warn each of us today. From verse 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So as I was preaching to preachers and showing the church the responsibility that every preacher and pastor has, verses 3 and 4 gives the reasons why we need to preach. Because there will come a time that people in the seats, people in the pews, they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll be looking for preachers. They'll be looking for pastors that will not tell them the truth. That will tickle their ears. That will wash down. They will water down the gospel. We can't have that. Can't have that never. We can't have that ever. And we can't have it now. For the word of God cannot do for us. Hear me. For the word of God cannot do for us what it's designed to do for us if we don't let it. For it cannot perfect you if you will not allow it to correct you. Hear me. I'm talking about the word of God today. The word of God cannot perfect us if we do not allow it to correct us. We gotta be corrected when we're sitting in the living room and we read the word of God and we find something in the word that God has pricked our hearts over. And he says, I want you to change, sister of God. I want you to change, brother. I want you to walk different. I want you to give that up. I want you to turn off that show. I want you to stop doing what you're doing. I want you to walk the straight and the narrow. I want you to commit more. Are you willing? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to change to overcome? You see the story. I read a story about a mentor and a mentee. They met weekly. That young mentor loved going to see his mentee. He loved it. It was awesome. He would go in there and he would find, you know, the beautiful words of encouragement. He would find direction. It was an awesome time for him to come every week to be ministered to by his mentee. One week in particular, he walked in. Hey, how's it going? And his mentee was quiet, silent, said nothing. He was sitting over there, or standing rather, in the kitchen, brewing a pot of coffee. The mentor kind of thought it was a little bit weird. It wasn't like the normal times. And he's getting, his palms were sweating a little bit. Okay. Well, the mentee brought over a cup and a saucer and put it on the table. And he walked over and grabbed the coffee pot. And right in front of the young man, he poured the coffee. And, you know, generally you stop, you know, when you get to the top. But the mentee began to pour the coffee. And it poured over. And it went over the cup. And it went over the saucer. And it went over the saucer and onto the table. And the young man goes, hey, what's going on? And the mentee looked, or the mentor looked at the mentee and said, this is what you have become. You've come in here before and you weren't like this, but now you come in here and it's like you're already full and I can't invest a whole lot more into you because you, when you come in here, you come in here puffed up and already full of yourself. He goes, if I'm going to be your mentor, if I'm going to be your mentor, you're going to be my mentee. He said, you're going to have to come in here and you are going to have to be empty. And you see, and that's how you and I need to approach the house of the Lord. We don't ever want to come into the house of God full of ourselves. I don't ever want to come to the house of God, amen, think that I'm full of the word or that I know everything. Hear me, somebody. I don't know who this is for, amen, but I want to believe it's for the entire church today, that none of us think we've arrived, that nobody here thinks that you're all that and then some, but we will empty ourselves out for the Lord. And then when we come into the house of God, we know our preacher has heard from God. We know that our pastor is going to preach from the word of God. And I've emptied myself out, and I've come in here and I said, okay, mentor, okay, man of God, okay, preacher, pastor, fill me again with the words of God. Change me, help me, so that I can walk away today changed yet again. We need to come to church emptied out every time so that we can be filled again and again, service after service, with the awesome changing power of God's word. You see, as a shepherd, the pastor is to guard the church from any and all that would hurt it or try to destroy it. He is to guard the doctrine of the Lord's church by preserving the integrity of the gospel at all costs. A pastor's heart, hear me, is not manifest. You ever wondered about your pastor's heart? And I know your pastor's heart. A pastor's heart is not manifest in how good of a man he is at petting sheep. The measure of a pastor's heart is in how capable a man he is at protecting you from wolves and steering you away from deception. You see, that is why we've got to preach the word of God. That is why when the preacher gets up in the pulpit, he's got to preach the word. He can't water it down. He can't preach his ideals or anything like that. He's got to get behind the pulpit. He's got to get in your life. He's got to sit down with that cup of coffee or whatever he's doing in your life. It's not about making you feel good all the time. It's not about petting sheep, but it is about protecting you from the wolves and the deception and the places that we can all find ourselves if we are not careful. Preacher, preach to me. I hope that that will become an attitude, a posture of yours. Amen. I pray, amen, that we will turn our back to our pastor. What does that mean, preacher? What are you saying? Amen. We need to stand with our back to our preacher. Amen. And why do we stand to our back to our preacher? Because there are people out there that will want to hurt our preacher. There will be people that want to talk against our pastor. There will be people that want to talk against ministry. And you're not going to let that happen. You're going to stand with your back to your preacher because you're going to be his greatest defense. You're going to go on the offense. Why? Because you got a pastor that preaches the truth and loves you. And you're going to have that attitude and that posture wherever you go. Preacher, preach to me. Shepherd me, pastor. Be the loudest voice in my life. Help me to make it to heaven. Coming to a close. Real quickly. The word of God must be preached like never before. I believe we've got some of the greatest preachers. But not only do we have some of the greatest preachers, we have some of the best of saints. People that are sold out for the cause of the cross. People that are given to this because they've not just heard what their preacher has said. They've taken what their preacher has said and they found it in the good book called the Bible. It's been confirmed over and over in their life. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 8:31 and 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29 says, is not my word like as a fire? Saith the Lord, and not, he said, is it not like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I don't know where you're at this morning. But could you humble yourself before the Lord today? Could you be grateful to God that he gave you a pastor? A pastor is a gift to you. One of your greatest gifts in this lifetime. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation. It is the doom of sinners and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Church, read the Bible. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here in the Word, paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide our feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and the word of God will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself. It will lead you to heaven. We cannot separate God and his word. And the preacher needs to preach the word. And the people need to receive the word and walk in freedom, walk in liberty. I think that we can see how important the word of God is. We can see how important our preacher is, our pastor. Could you stand with me today? But can we not see how important it is that we respond? With conviction. That I'm not allowed. God, I don't ever want to allow myself to build that wall between you and I. My dad has told a story in many of his sermons in my lifetime about the church that he grew up in. And there was a woman came to church and gave her life to Jesus. Known to be into drugs and alcohol and prostitution, and she was received by the church. She was welcomed by the pastor, and she felt comfortable with the body, the believers, the men and women and young people of the church. The preacher would preach. The story says that she'd run from her seat, fall on an altar. Didn't matter who was there, she should cry out to God, God, forgive me. And all of a sudden, her disposition would change. A smile would come on her face. She'd speak in that heavenly language. She'd hug necks, shake hands, and say, I love my church. My dad said this happened over and over and over and over again. I'm not saying this is going to happen to you. I'm not saying that this is going to happen to anybody. But my dad said one day, Brother Meyer, she came to church. Same situation as all those other times. She ran to the altar. People prayed with her. She began to scream. I can't feel you! I can't feel you, God! I want to feel God. I can't feel him. God, touch me. Change me, God. Help me, God. God, I believe your word. I believe you, God. I don't know. I don't know what to really think about that or really what to say about that. She still hugged necks. She shook hands. But there was no deliverance that day. She didn't leave that day changed. I don't know what the Bible says, that God gives us grace, the unmerited favor of God, but I believe grace goes beyond that. Grace is the God-given ability and power. The God-given ability and power to accomplish his will for your life. But there's something about being a doer. Not just to hear only. Because the Bible says you can what? Deceive your own self. I don't believe that it was God that necessarily was holding himself back from her. She got to that place. She deceived herself in her mind and her heart. Over and over again, taking God for granted. Over and over again, taking his word for granted. Over and over again, taking the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters, what we have here, precious for granted. I don't want that to happen to anyone ever again. It's a story that shook me to my core, right? That stuck with me. Here I am, 50 years old. Heard that story when I was a teenager. I'm going, God, I don't ever want to be that way. I don't want to ever take for granted presence of God, the power of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, the man of God, the time of God. I don't want to ever take any of that for granted. So here, I did my part. I preached. I sweat and forgot my hanky and got stuff in my eyes and everything. Probably spit on somebody, but now it's up to you. Preacher, preach to me. Thank you for preaching. And now I'm going to take what you've said. I'm not going to stay the same way that I am. I'm going to be changed into his likeness. I'm going to apply the preached word today, and I'm going to be better, stronger, more committed, greater faith, dedicated, on fire, sold out, encouraged. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to smile. I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to be liberated. I'm going to be new. Amen. New year, new focus. I'm going to put my spiritual contacts in. And then God's going to heal me. I'm going to be changed forever. Hey, I know you're waiting. I know I didn't say Simon Says yet to come to the altar. Simon Says, come to the altar. Well, you haven't forgotten that childlike game, have you? Just anticipating another moment at the altar. Preacher, preach to me. God, I want a message. God, I want something to touch my heart. God, I want to be changed forever. I'm not just going to be a hearer, God. I'm going to be a doer of the word of God. I'm going to love truth. I'm going to love the word of God. I am going to hear sound doctrine. I'm going to love the truth. It's going to change my life. Hallelujah.
There is nothing like your glory.
Oh God. Help my heart to be good soil. Let the seed of the message, let the power of the word, let the principles of the Spirit of God find its way into a heart, into a life. New year, new me.
to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Love.